good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Penny Cuttergate.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, on today's show, we're speaking with some of the cast members from Rutherford Falls, which debuts Season 2 tomorrow on Peacock. In this segment, we're joined by Ed Helms, who plays Nathan, and Jenna, who plays Reagan. Let's take a listen.
I'm here with two of the stars of Rutherford Falls, and we're going to talk a little bit about Season 2, but also about their character and how exciting this is. I have to hold back a little bit, Ed and Jenna, is that the last couple times I've cried a little bit because as a Native American, it's been really emotional in a positive way to watch this series and the writing and the inside jokes. And here I go again.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. And Ed, I just had a quick question I wanted to ask you. What got you interested in this kind of series with this kind of storyline?
Well, you know, I'll be perfectly candid. I kind of stumbled into this out of my own curiosity just seeing so much going on in America about how kind of racial identity was becoming such a fraught subject. And in particular, you know, as a white person and being, and having just kind of rolled through life with some privilege that I've only in the last, I don't know, 10 years become more aware of. And, I just was very curious, and Mike Schur and I started talking about a character that might really start examining some of these things or get confronted involuntarily by some of these things. And that led us very much into, what that character might be dealing with, confronting his family history vis-a-vis Native American history. And that led us to conversations with Sierra Teller Ornelas. That led us to this really like explosive in a good way, like exploration of the possibilities of these stories. And then it became so much more. It became more about the Native American experience, building out this cast and this creative team, the writer's room, in such a way that we wound up just telling so much more story than I think we even set out to. And it's a real testament to really Sierra being that catalyst right at the beginning, and it becoming this amazing thing that I just feel so humbled and thrilled to be a part of.
It is an amazing thing. And Jenna, how did we work out where Nathan is not a white savior? I mean, I really feel good about your two relationship on the show. How did that happen in a good way like that?
Because we hired Native writers, you know, I was one of them. Like, that's what you get when you let Native people tell our stories, is we don't have white saviors. That just doesn't exist in our community. So when we're together, and, you know, it was really wonderful sharing a writer's room with Ed and Mike and, you know, our Native and non-Native writers. We had such a diverse room, and, you know, half of the room was Native and all from different tribal nations. And to be telling our own stories in the company of this caliber of, you know, creators and comedians was so delightful to watch them listen, you know, to see, to be able to tell our stories to to a new audience, you know, and to have their to see their response, to see Mike Schur and Ed Helms like laughing at our jokes, you know, that's like so affirming because we have been so, you know, erased in comedy, especially. We just haven't really gotten to show up yet. So yeah, it's just been really exciting experience. And I think exciting, you know, I see myself as an audience member as well. So I'm getting to sort of experience this for the first time with the rest of us. And even just to see both sides of it is so cool.
Well, I just want to say, Pinigigi, to Ed, for jumping in this project, because you are the star that would attract people maybe that normally wouldn't come to this. So I just had come to the show. So I just want to say, Pinigigi, thank you so much for taking this on and doing what you're doing for our Native community.
I feel like so grateful to be a part of this team. This has elevated my game, and I, the experience has been incredible, and the laughs have been really, really hard, and I just couldn't be more proud and grateful.
Well, Jenna, I gotta say, in season one, when you had to chop wood, made me feel good about being Native. That was a great inside story. And also the foil. I know you're a former teacher. I'm a former high school teacher, and now my real job is I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation.
Okay.
But I'm on 5 days a week on the radio across the country, so that's my other gig. But Bobby Wilson was a student of mine, so his like watching.
No way.
Well, you did a terrible job.
He's been on the show many times, and we've had to hit the 7-second delay. He's a swear man. I didn't.
Oh yeah, just a filthy mouth on that kid.
I mean, just beautifully unfiltered.
But thank then you. Also having Dallas Goldtooth come in the second season too. There's another person been on my show many times, and he's a water protector, and his family is well known here in Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. So.
Yes.
That's just exciting to see. And I always tell our lieutenant governor, who's Native American in Minnesota, I'm so grateful for my students and former students to see somebody that looks like them doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it means a lot to me, too. It's really exciting to talk to youth and young people who are watching the show, and to give them an opportunity to see themselves as like, you know, what we've been kind of asking for and pining for a long, long time. And now we get it. And so the responsibility is big, but I really feel like we're handling it with care and doing our best out here.
You are. And it's just funny that you're kind of the city Indian and then the traditional Indians and that whole thing that us as Indians live through all the time. You're not traditional enough. And
yep.
I just love it. I love it. Ed, the writing, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's like I the last interview, I said something like, it's like watching the Flintstones when I was a kid. There's adult humor, and then there's children humor, and now we have Native humor and regular humor, and it's like just so funny and so grateful.
Yeah, it feels cool that we're like sort of building a genre in a way, you know, like this, that we're having, Native humor is now like, we know that it's always existed, but now it's an actual literal TV genre.
Yeah, it really is. And it's fun because I'll have to rewind it and go, did they really just say what I thought they said? And it's like, oh, in a good way. Yeah.
In a good way. Always.
Really. And excited. You know, that again, I want to just thank you for being, you know, the star power that brought people to this show. And Jenna, your acting and your character and the writing has kept people coming back. So that's just so exciting and so positive for us.
Thank you.
And thank so you. I'm getting a cue here that I need to go, but I'm just so grateful to be here in the same space as you two. And it's just been really my pleasure.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, on today's show, we're speaking with some of the cast members from Rutherford Falls, which debuts season 2 tomorrow on Peacock. In this segment, we're joined by Sarah Teller Ornelas and Michael Gray Eyes. Let's take a listen.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited to be here with the stars of Rutherford Falls. Talking about just the characters and the second season coming up. I just have to say that the last interview I had, I got really emotional, and I'm starting to get there right now. I really appreciate what you've done, Sierra. To represent Native Americans the way you have, and also all the inside jokes and all the fast writing. It's like, wow, did I just hear what did I just hear what I thought I heard? But I just have to say this real quick. I think one of the most underrated shows was Happy Endings.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was funnier than heck. So when I saw you were involved with that, I just had to say that, because that show is pretty underrated. I know it's not my demographics. I'm an elder, so I have to laugh quietly when I see stuff like that, but that was a good one.
Oh, and, thank you.
And Michael, I am just so happy to be here with you. I can't look at you without thinking of that, segment last season about the casino and capitalism. How long did it take to write that, and also how long did it take to shoot that? That was just amazing, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much. The writers took a long time to craft that. It was obviously it was a room that was writing it, even though Rupinder Gill ultimately wrote that specific speech. It's a showstopper, Like it's one of those speeches that I've said before, I've waited an entire career to get, because of its complexity, because of how sophisticated it is. I actually did a Terry talk where I talked about how I had to prepare for that. And I think my Terry talk was like an hour and 15, because it was a really complex job. And it took us an entire afternoon, like most of a day, to film that. And I remember it was a real struggle, because I had to match that writing. I had to, as a performer, bring I was being given fastballs, like these are really complex, a really complex series of scenes, and I had to swing hard. And I remember being frustrated, because I felt like I wasn't doing enough. but Sierra and Sydney, the director, Sydney Freeland, the director, were there, and they just kept giving me notes. And Dustin Milligan was this, my scene partner. He was so great. In the end, it's one of my proudest moments on screen. So the effort was worth it.
You know, there's like 100,000 views, and I think because my real job, I have a radio show that's national 5 days a week, but my real job is I'm a tribal legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. And so I watch that quite often, and it hits me, and I really appreciate the writing, Sierra, and the acting, and you did hit this fastball. I think I watch it, and it's legitimate, and it really helps me get centered in a good way.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for saying that. That means a great deal.
Thank you.
I got to say a couple things here, Sierra. Bobby Wilson was a high school teacher in St. Paul, and Bobby Wilson was one of my students.
Love
and
Bobby.
And Bobby's been on our radio show many times, and we really have to be close to the beep button because I didn't realize he swore as much as he did.
Oh, but, like a sailor.
Yeah. A native sailor.
Holy yeah.
And then Dallas Goldtooth, too. He's a legend here in the Twin Cities.
That's, of course.
He's been on my show a few times, and I see that he's getting a little more air, or getting some airtime in season two, which is exciting. The writing is rapid fire, and you really have to pay attention and, again, rewind and watch it again. I've watched the show a couple times, and I've just totally cracked up because of the inside jokes. It's almost like watching, I'm an old person, it's almost like watching the Flintstones, where there was adult humor and then there was kid humor. And now we have native humor and Wasichu humor. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I worked in television comedy, network comedy for, you know, over 10 years now. And every boss I've had, there's this thing called the one percenter, you know, where it's just a joke that the showrunner likes and maybe 1% of the country is going to get it. But I don't care. I really like the joke. I believe in it. And so when I got my show, I was like, oh, I get to have one percenters. Like, this is so great. But there was also a room of native writers and non-native writers. And when we got certain jokes in, I was like, oh, that's going to make my mom laugh, or that's going to make my uncles laugh. Like, and if you know, to pass the uncle test, we got to put it in. And so there's, and seeing the native writers, or sorry, the native actors laugh during table reads and like recognize, you know, when we say that Terry's cooler than Billy Jack, you know, everyone loves that line because that's a dream. And I would say that Michael lives up to the hype. So it's a great feeling to kind of have those inside jokes be, you know, kind of displayed on a mainstream level.
Michael, when you read the script for the pilot, what were your feelings? Were you going, this is really unique? It's kind of, I mean, what's the difference between you seeing it on paper and then really acting? And how excited were you to work on this project?
I came to the casting process a little bit late. I think they'd been, you know, kind of like working things out. There was another show that I was up for that, you know, would have been in conflict with Rutherford Falls. But then, you know, that show went away and, you know, I flew into screen test, and at the time I just had the sides, you know, and I was like, okay, so these sides are genius. They're so funny. And I was like, wait a second, I have to be funny. Like, nobody asked me to be funny in like nearly 30 years. No one's like, you know, like maybe once in a while, sort of a bit wry. And so when I finally got the scripts, I was like, okay, so this is actually history making. This is groundbreaking. We have not seen this. I haven't seen it, and I've seen like a lot of scripts, and I watch a lot of TV. So I said, I have to be part of this. I have to be part of this, because it's going to change the conversation.
Right. And Michael, I have to ask this to you real quick, because you are an actor. What's easier, comedy or drama?
Drama.
Yeah.
Like by like a mile. comedy is like, if you're like in, like, let's take math. Like if you're like doing like, you know, fractions, you know, that's like drama. Calculus, that's comedy. Like that's trig, right? So, you know, we have to work faster. We have to have more options. They'll come to you after a take, you know, the directors or CR, and go, okay, that was great. We got that. Try it this way. And then they'll ask you to have like come at it from a slightly different angle and move through the material in a slightly different way. And then come out on the other side a little bit different. There's a flexibility that comedic actors have to have that I wasn't aware of until I started working on the show. And my respect for actors who are primarily known for their comedy just skyrocketed, because I realized that what they're doing is a high wire act, where if they don't laugh, they fall, right? So it's even more high pressure than drama.
Yeah.
I will say that Michael's being too humble. If math is the metaphor, you mastered calculus like no time. So there's so many. Well, no, that's the beauty of season two is, you know, we had this idea of who Terry Thomas was season one, and Michael just knocked out of the park, but there would be these sort of flicks and looks and things of like, what is that? And let's explore that. And so really getting to kind of mine the comedy from Michael this year has been so, so fun.
That's awesome too. And I just got to give a shout out to the casino workers and the foil that they are. That was brilliant to put them in. And I have my dogs barking in my studio. Don't worry about it. It happens during my radio show.
Okay. Often.
So it's kind of a natural thing. And the cat really wants to get in on the show. We do it on YouTube and StreamYard along on radio at the same time. So, but that was brilliant, Sierra. I mean, just coming up with these characters and, you know, to make Nathan's character likable, but not in a bad way when it comes to natives going, here's a white savior. I don't feel that from that character.
No, not at all. I think to me, you know, you always see characters on television kind of getting flattened and they're always kind of one note. And our goal was not to just give complexity to the native characters, but to all the characters, because I feel like that is more reflective of our life and the sort of compromises and true friendships that we have in this weird kind of time that we're living in. But no, and I love Wayne and Sally. They're my favorite comedy duo maybe ever. Yeah. I don't think you can have a native show without a fair amount of teasing, and they sort of represent that element of our community.
Right. I keep telling Sierra that they're production, you know, like the spin-off comedy is the Wayne and Sally thing.
From your mouth to creator's ears, Michael.
Well, I am wrapping up here. I have not been paying attention to the cues here, but I really, really appreciate it in a good way, what you've done. And I just got to give a quick teaser, Michael. You're a very good dancer. I just want to throw that out there real quick so people can be ready to watch the show of the second season. Sierra, Michael, Pinigigi, thank you so, so much for speaking with me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody enjoys season two of Rutherford Falls, June 16th.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, on today's show, we're speaking with some of the cast members from Rutherford Falls, which debuts Season 2 tomorrow on Peacock. In this segment, we're joined by Justin Milligan and Jesse Lee. Let's take a listen.
All right, Peeny Geegee. Wow, I'm so excited to be with two stars of Rutherford Falls. I'm with Justin and Jesse. And first thing I want to say to Jesse is I smell, you know, for Bobby's character, I smell spinoff. I really am really digging your character this second season, and it's really stepping forward. What's your thoughts on that, Jesse?
I think I smell that too. I think a Bobby Yang spinoff would be amazing. In season two, we see Bobby Yang run for mayor. So I think they're on a trajectory to have their own spinoff.
And I think it's so important too for being Native to see our two spirit people represented in a great show like this. It really warms my heart to watch the show. And I think, you know, Dustin, I think the show really has a lot of heart, and I'm really, really, I don't know, I'm really excited to be here talking to you two. What are your thoughts on the heart? I know you came from another show that ended with a lot of heart too, and jumped into this show. I don't know. I'm getting teary-eyed.
I think it's something that, you know, it's rare. You don't always get opportunities to be a part of things where immediately, just from reading it right off the page, there's something deeper that resonates. And you know, there are with this show, there are so many complicated, deep themes for all of the characters. Like, every character has something going on with them that in a lot of ways is very complex and oftentimes misunderstood sort of story arcs and themes going on with them. And I think what's beautiful about the show is that, yeah, it tackles them, but in such a way where there is heart, but it's always lighthearted and heartfelt at the same time. It's never going overboard in one direction or the other. It's never bypassing any of these issues, but it's also not ever being, letting the issues themselves take away from just the joy, specifically Native joy. That's something Sierra talks about all the time that she really wants to be pushing, is like, no one person is monolithic, is representative of just one type of story. And I think specifically with indigeneity, so often in film and television, it's a storyline that is stuck only in the past without ever expressing sort of the modern version of it and the modern stories that need to be celebrated just as much and need to be talked about just as much. And that balance is so incredible to have that going while still also just making everyone laugh. Like, it's joke after joke after joke. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be a part of, and very, very rare. So I think both of us are feeling quite lucky that we have this second season coming.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm truly blessed to watch this too. And I think one of the things that I've noticed, Jesse, is that there are so many jokes going on. You really have to pay attention. And I know there's a lot of Native inside jokes, but there's just, it's the writing is really unique, where there's like double meanings and people will laugh at certain things and other things might go over their head, Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have to pay attention to the jokes for sure. We have 6 Native American writers staffed on the show, which is one of the biggest Native American writers room on television right now. And the jokes are fresh and they're unique, and they're told by new Native American voices, newer Native American comedians, and yeah, the jokes are amazing. And I think I can speak for both of us when we feel lucky to be telling those jokes on screen.
Also, it's good for Peacock. If you don't get the jokes and you got to rewatch that episode a couple times to get all the jokes, that's fine. Get those viewing numbers up. That's cool with us.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think I just want to say again, it's really awesome to see Jesse, you representing of and normalizing a big part of our community out there. And I just want to say, Peeny Gigi, thank you so much for that. Really, it's courageous and it's beautiful all in the same same breath. And Two-Spirit, Native Americans were revered a long, long time ago in our tribe. So to have you represent the way you are is in a good way. I just want to say, Peeny Gigi, thank you. Yeah, and Dustin, I just want to ask you a quick thing about, I'm a former teacher, so I know Bobby Wilson was a student of mine.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's been on my radio show a few times.
Oh, cool.
And I know Dallas Goldtooth really well. I'm in the Twin Cities, and my radio show is in Chicago, Milwaukee, and Madison, and I'm on 5 days a week, so I have those guys on every once in a while. But I want to back up a second, and I just want to talk about, because my real job is I'm a tribal legislator for Ho-Chunk okay. Nation in Wisconsin. And I watch a couple times, well, at least two or three times a month, your interaction with,
with Terry, Michael Gray Eyes.
Yeah, the capitalism discussion. And how did that go, and how long did that take to shoot? And the writing was phenomenal.
Yeah, that I think it was episode 4 of season 1, and it was such a beautiful thing. You know, I've talked about it before, where I had the privilege of growing up in a town called Yellowknife, almost in the subarctic of Canada, and we were lucky enough to have to be educated in some of the, in indigenous culture of the region there as we were growing up. And it was something, though, that I didn't quite understand how much that was lacking until I moved down south and just saw basically that there was just nothing being talked about in terms of indigenous story. And so to then be in LA in a studio, on a studio lot, in a studio show, and have Michael Gray Eyes, an icon of certainly Canadian film and television, but just in general film and television. He's been so good for so long. To have him go through that methodically and so just so beautifully, along with the help of Sierra as well, and to have him sort of go through that and to feel him feeling his way through that speech and feeling those words and watching him draw on his own well. It was just a masterclass in acting, but also just something that was resonating with me very deeply on a personal level. Just thinking about all of the kids everywhere who would be seeing this beautiful performance and feeling it themselves and interpreting for themselves. And there was no doubt in my mind that them watching him deliver that there were people who were being inspired in that moment to go off and tell their own stories, tell their own versions of their upbringing, and to also celebrate their joy, the native joy that I think the show does so well to celebrate, to also go forward and do that themselves. It was an incredible moment, and truly, I say this with no hyperbole, one of the most important moments, not just of my career, but of my life.
Wow. Wow. Peeny Gigi. Well, I see we have to get going here soon. I just want to say, keep on doing what you're doing. I really feel grateful, to speak with both of you, and I didn't think I would get emotional, but I'm emotional right now, and
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio.
City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Are you nervous to go to your mailbox and see one more past due mortgage bill? You could qualify for financial assistance through Home Help MN if you have fallen behind on your mortgage payments due to the pandemic. This Minnesota housing program even has money available to help with other past due mortgage-related expenses. Learn more at homehelpmn.org or call 1-800-388-3226.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, from Reservation Dogs, let's take a listen to this interview with Little Mike and Funny Bone. Hey, you know, I'm really, really super stoked here, you know, and I'm really to our people listening to us in the Twin Cities, Milwaukee, Madison, Chicago, I have a super, super duper surprise for you. You know, we had Dallas Goldtooth on a couple weeks ago, and then Bobby Wilson, who really loves to swear on live radio, but we got that 7-second delay happening, so we got Bobby's back. But we are here with Little Mike and Funny Bone, man, and I am so stoked to talk to these cats. We're just going to change our whole format and talk to these guys. Welcome to Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa. How are you guys doing?
I'm blessed. How are you, boss?
Hey, right on, right on. So I want to, before we talk about a little bit of Reservation Dogs, I want to first say thank you, Peeny Geeky, so much for being on. And I want you to talk to our people all over the five-state area up here in Minnesota, Chicago, Iowa, and the Dakotas about who you guys are. And then let's talk a little bit about Reservation Dogs, because you guys have gotten blown up since then. And I know your characters named them the Reservation Dogs, so that was a sweet move, and you guys were grooving on that. So, hey, tell us a little bit about you guys, and I know you're musicians, and I know you guys do a sweet rapping, and a 60-year-old uncle just said that sweet rapping. Oh, right. Hey,
how's our microphone? Are we coming in too loud, too low?
You're a little soft. If you could turn it up just a tad, that'd be awesome.
Turn it up some. How's that?
There you are. You're sounding golden now. Hey, you awesome. Guys.
And just as a reminder, no swearing on the radio.
Yeah, we try to tell Bobby Wilson that, and he don't listen.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it clean. That's not too much static, is it?
No, you're good. You're good, man. Okay. Tell us what's up.
Well, we are Lil Mike and Funny Bone, together known as Mike and Bone. It's Mike Bone is the band name. Mm-hmm. We've been performing and rapping and writing music for over 20 years, and we just started acting, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Due to the COVID-19.
Yeah,
it shut down touring. All the concerts shut down because of COVID, and we needed some money. And our manager came at us with, hey, man, they're filming this thing in Oklahoma. Y'all want to get in? We're like, shoot, yeah, let's try it. We didn't think we was going to get the part because the Mose and Miko was supposed to be kids. And they were supposed to do a lot of cussing.
Right, yeah.
And we kind of changed up the script and made it our own. And they fell in love with it. And they loved our characters. And it just kind of grew from there.
I love it, the fact that you guys are rapping and really positive, happy happy characters in the show, where, you know, those young folks are a little gloomy and want to move to California.
Right. Yeah, trying to go off the rails.
That's right. Well, I heard a lot of exciting things are going to happen this year. And how involved are you guys going to be this year?
We're in a couple episodes, so
nice.
You'll get a lot more Mozambico. And
right on.
I can't really tell you specifics, but just stay tuned. And we tell all our fans and all the Reservation Dog fans, until season two, watch us on YouTube.
Yep.
We got a whole lot of content. We got TV interviews, behind-the-scenes footage. We have tour vlogs where you find me and this dude going on tour, just mm-hmm. acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and you can ride with us. It's pretty awesome. You get to see the whole shtick behind the scenes, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I was talking to somebody today, a native brother up in the deep north here in Minnesota, and said he knows you guys. You guys were up there doing some talking to kids and doing some really cool stuff up there. He had nothing but great things to say about you guys, being good warriors with the community and spreading love. So I really appreciate you guys coming on and talking to us. Heard nothing but good things, and I love your characters.
Thank you. And we look at it like this, man. We are blessed to be a blessing. And especially as indigenous people, we feel like there's a sense of responsibility to do whatever we do with honor and dignity. And that's why we don't cuss. We don't put out trash about doing drugs and drinking. We don't... we don't do none of that stuff. We live it out, too. So that's mm-hmm. to all the people out there that, want to do the same thing. You can say it, but it's another thing to actually live it out. So
that's,
I think, what a lot of people take away and from watching us in real life and then on YouTube. And you see, like I said, behind the scenes, we us, we real.
Hey, can you give us your YouTube, where people can find you, where people listen to you? Give us your page and your website so people can get down and buy some cool rap.
MikeBoneMedia.com.
MikeBoneMedia.com.
All the links. It has all the social media links, YouTube, merchandise, free downloads, and exclusively right now, you can get our latest single. It's called Scoat In. New single, Scoat In, just came out 2 days ago on our website exclusively. It will be streaming everywhere else soon. But you can get it now, MikeBoneMedia.com.
That's awesome.
Everything needs to know.
That's awesome. So you guys got swag and stuff. I could dress up like you guys too and be chilling like a villain, right?
Yeah. Get you up real nice. And we got pillows and leggings for the ladies. We got bed sheets, you name it.
We got curtains. I didn't even know we had curtains till somebody posted about it.
That's awesome. Gina, do you have a question for these guys?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. You guys are amazing. And so I just want to say you guys present yourself so well. I've been coming on this show on and off for the past year and now like every day for the past week. And I always get so nervous. Put me on the front lines in front of law enforcement and the nerves are gone. But get me on Robert's show and I'm just like sweating over here. But you guys, like everything I see you and you guys hold yourself so well and present yourself so well. And just so it looks like it comes easy to you. So are you guys still nervous when you go on stage or are you guys just happy with what you're doing?
Yeah, we are. We're not nervous on stage anymore. I mean, it just comes natural, but, I don't know.
Do you have any advice for the younger generation that, have a lot of nerves and want to get on stage or even public speaking?
I mean, it just comes natural. And then, I mean, if I had any advice for the young ones out there trying to do it, you got to learn to embrace who you are, everything, all your flaws. Like us, yeah, we lacking height, but just give me a chair, I'll be all right. I mean, you know, and I like to say we just like to show out. Just show out, and hopefully you'll get kicked out.
Hey, you guys got time for a few more minutes after we pay for our sponsors to come back on? That's right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Little Mike and Funny Bone, Gina and Wendy. We're just having a fabulous Friday, so we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. I think we have the reservation guys back. All right. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It was that howling. It was that stupid howling you guys did. It was like, whoa. Hey, Wendy's got, I don't know if you heard Wendy's question, but go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, I just was wondering how much of your own personalities are in your characters on Reservation Dogs.
Actually, we threw our flavor on that whole thing, so that's pretty much the res version of us.
Okay.
So we grew up in Oklahoma City. The city is our res, hence the urban accent. Yeah.
Frozen again. Oh no. Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to ask, he said that they were together, they've been together working for 20 years. Is that what I heard them say earlier?
Definitely.
Yeah, so.
Say, I think Gina's got some news too.
Excellent. Let's go to
Gina. Let me go for it, guys, while we wait. Oh, are they back?
What happened?
No, but State Senator Mary's here. Oh, wait, they're here. They are back. Hey.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God. Lisa, come here.
Did you hear any of that?
We have our...
Res Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have State Senator Mary Kunish on, who's normally, who's always on our, I guess, on Fridays. And she just didn't know you were on, and she's, like, freaking out. So,
my gosh, you guys. We love
you.
We love you in that show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Have you got a chance to listen to the music yet?
No. Well, no. I mean, no. I haven't. Is there an album? Is there a compilation? I feel like I'm out of touch.
We have over 190 songs online.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to have to get my act together here.
MikeBoneMedia.com. One of those got to be good.
Yep. MikeBoneMedia.com. You can see it all. And you guys have that new song, Skoden. And then,
Skoden.
Yeah. And also, you know, is there any way you guys could do that little rap you were doing in Reservation Dogs? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Could you do that?
In the basement. We're making that drop when the glock go pop, pop, pop.
No, you talking about that one or the one
I am. No, that's the one I was talking about.
Oh, we're making that drop when the glock go pop, pop, pop. Demons get shot, we're making them drop when the glock go pop, pop, pop. You better believe we shutting down shop when the glock go pop, pop, pop. Bullets can't be stopped, that let them in charge. Glock go pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
And that's a spiritual warfare song, so we not endorsing violence.
I got the applause going.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard.
One quick thing I want to do before we let you guys go. I want you to say your name and who you are, and with and say you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and so I can use that as a bumper.
All right.
Could you do that for me?
Radio Presents what?
I'm Awake.
I'm awake.
We're woke over here.
All right. I'm Lil Mike.
And I'm Funny Bone.
And you listening to Native Roots Radio.
Presents I'm Awake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Wait a minute. Got to get the applause going. So I don't know if you heard this question, but Wendy did ask, and you guys did answer the question about that you guys brought your own flavor to the characters. Whose idea was it you guys just scoot around on those 70s bikes? I'm an old person. Those are the bikes I rode.
Those are the banana seat bikes.
The banana seats.
Yeah. It wasn't our idea.
The script said we roll up. So we think we're going to get to set and they're going to have us driving like a car.
Yeah.
When we actually get to set, they had two bikes. And we're like, oh, heck. ain't rode a bike in years. I was gonna say I ain't rode a bike since I was little, but I ain't grown an inch. So.
Yes. Senator, do you have a question for these guys? State Senator.
Oh, Senator, you said Senator. I'm just like in the glow here watching these two guys. So, so are you your twin brothers?
Yes. No. We're 5 years apart. We're pretty much twins, but not twins.
Okay. Well, I have a twin brother, and then I have two older brothers that are twins. And so I just wanted to say, like, you know, twin power and that kind of stuff. But what got you going on with your performing?
Ooh, well, therapy. Hey. No, poetry was a form of therapy for Lil Mike growing up. And I kind of went from there. And I came out 5 years later, and I joined him at the age of 12. And we just kind of clicked, and it was cool. I mean, it was like it was meant to be. Everything came together. I mean,
basically tried to base off the rappers who danced and then the performers who actually put on a show, like Michael Jackson, NSYNC, MC Hammer.
If you go to a Mike Bone show, you get an actual concert. We don't just walk around the stage with a microphone reciting lyrics. We give them a shout, you know.
Right on.
We perform. We go dancing. I mean, you just like he said. We kind of base it off Michael Jackson and all the bigs that were actually doing it.
Yeah. Well, every time you roll into a scene, man, you steal the scene. Absolutely steal the scene.
That's right. We do. And I just got to tell you guys before we let you go here is that we feel like I feel your positive vibes coming through the screen and everything you guys do. I see your videos. I'm friends of you on Facebook. And this just shows how real and cool of a person you are. I just reached out to you and see if you wanted to come on our show. And here you guys are. And that's a humility plus. And I really, really appreciate you guys.
It's all love, man. It's all love. We just trying to do the most we can with what we have.
Well, you are. So, again, MikeBonesMedia.com. You know, we were just talking to Little Mike and Funny Bone. Any last words before we let you guys go?
Make sure y'all stay tuned and support our content. It helps so much. You have no idea whether it's downloading the music or buying the merchandise, T-shirts, leggings, you name it. It all helps. It's much appreciated. Please share the content on top of that, and let's make a trend. Support Indigenous.
Yep. And right watch on. Us on Reservation Dogs.
You bet. Oh, sure.
And then Howl for Wolves. Woohoo! For being on. You guys are awesome, and I'll reach out later on, too, I'll just reach out whenever you guys have some time. Come on. You're always invited. I really appreciate it.
Thank y'all for having us.
Miigwech, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Wow, that's just so awesome.
Yeah, Wendy. How fun was that?
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. Pini Gigi to all our great guests from Rutherford Falls and Little Mike and Funny Bone. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.